a joy and delight to be here, Grove City Conference. And even before I open God's Word, I would like to acknowledge someone who has been special to me, Brother Luke Fabergé. And the reason why, because he has labored in Guyana for 17 years. He and his wife, laboring there, teaching me God's Word and helping me along. And it's a joy in my heart to say to Brother Luke and his wife, Judy, how much we appreciate what he has done. I'll read three scriptures. First one, the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, Hebrews, and then James. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. The last scripture I would like to read is in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God had raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. I would like to talk to God. Father, help. Help, we beseech thee. Come in and help. We desire God and Father, that those who don't know thee as Savior might come to know you. And those who know you might live for you more faithfully. O our God, we glorify your name in the name of your Son. To him be glory forever. Amen. This week, we've been occupied with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. There is nothing like it. He rose from the dead. He is alive. And he's alive forevermore. Nevermore to die. In Hebrews chapter 2, we have the Lord Jesus. It's been said, for as much then as the children were partakers of flesh and blood. What did he do? The Bible tells us he also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. There was something that took place in the death of Christ. He first destroyed the enemy in order to secure us. The enemy must first be defeated. If it be Pharaoh, Pharaoh must die in the Red Sea. And then we can sing redemption song, because Pharaoh is destroyed. We want to see how the Lord Jesus defeated the enemy in death. How Christ in death destroyed him who had a power of death. Here we are told that the Lord Jesus, the second man, the last Adam. The first Adam surrendered something to Satan. Satan didn't tempt Adam for no reason. He tempted him in order to acquire the power of death. But the Lord Jesus, he was going to take it back. And what we find here, for as much as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he, our Lord Jesus, took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. Who had the power of death? Satan. That's what the scripture tells us, that he had the power of death. But how did he get it? He got it by tempting Adam. And when Adam fell, Satan got the power of death. And he wielded it. And he terrified us. The word of God tells us, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that if the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Not only has the Lord defeated him. Oh yes, he has defeated him. He went into that. Where the first man failed, where the first man is defeated, the Lord Jesus Christ defeats Satan. In Gethsemane, Satan brings the power of death to bear on the Lord Jesus. And the Lord, in agony, says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There he goes through it. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he is going to go through death because of you and me. He was going to die on the cross because of you and because of me. But he had to defeat Satan. And here we are told by the word of God that in death he was going to destroy him who had the power of death. There was a wonderful scenery in the Old Testament that illustrates this, what took place in death. In that scenery is the capture or the taking of the ark of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 5, we have the ark of God being taken because of the sins of the people of God. The ark of God is taken by the Philistines. And what do they do with it? They took the ark and put it in the house of their God. Dagon. Well, for them it was a trophy. It's like the Lord Jesus Christ in death. But I want to tell you what happened the first night. The Bible records there in 1 Samuel 5. Two evenings. The first evening, and we will say that was Friday night, Saturday morning. The Philistines came in to see how Dagon was doing. And what the word of God tells us,
When they came in, they were surprised. Dagon was on his face before the ark of God. The Philistines took up Dagon, their god, and said, "Dagon, you can't do this. You gotta do better than this." And so they took up Dagon and said, "Dagon, you have to stand." And they put Dagon back to stand up that night. But brethren, let me tell you what happened the next night. When they went in the next morning, Dagon's head was off. Dagon was totally broken up. All of Dagon's power was gone. He could not stand what God had done. The Lord Jesus Christ will come out. The heart of God will come out of that place, and no one could stop him. And what do we find? And that's why we have, let us read and enjoy that passage in Acts chapter 2 again. In Acts chapter 2, it tells us the secret there. In verse 24, whom God had raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he could be holden of death. You think death didn't try to hold him? Let me tell you something. When I die, death will hold me and I can't come out. Even though how much I want to come out, I can't come out until the Lord raises me. Death tried to hold him. But what the Word of God says, it was not possible that he could be holden of death. Death had to let him go. And he came out of death victoriously. And he's alive and alive forevermore. Nevermore to die. Revelation chapter 1, we are told. He says, "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and hell." The Lord Jesus went into death and he defeated him who had the power of death. And I want to tell you what he did. He came out victoriously. Satan couldn't stop him. We read about the excuse. Satan is defeated. What's the best excuse he could come up with? His disciples came and stole his body. You know, the worst thing about that excuse is this. While we slept. Well, let me tell you, those would be the first set of people who knew what went on while they were sleeping. While we slept. I don't know if they were sleepwalking, maybe. While we slept, his disciples came and stole his body. That's the worst excuse he could have come up with. But the Lord Jesus came out of death victoriously. And he says, "I am he that liveth and was dead. I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death. And I have the keys of Hades." The Lord Jesus is alive. He's alive forevermore. Because he lives, you can live. And I want to tell you, young people, that now because he has defeated the enemy, he has taken away those keys, you can now have life and life it abundantly. Jesus died on the cross. And he died on the cross for me. He died on the cross for you. Having defeated the enemy, we now read another verse. And here in 1 Corinthians 15, it tells us, Christ died for our sins. We read just now how he died and he crushed the enemy in death. And he came out victoriously and the enemy couldn't stop him. The enemy had to let him go. But now, we're told,
He died for us. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. What I like about the scripture here is God's testimony about this event. In the book of Acts, we have the scripture mentioned 4 times. In the book of Romans, we have it mentioned 3 times. When we go to the book of Corinthians, where we just read, we have it mentioned 2 times. And if we go on to Timothy, we will have it mentioned 1 time. Here, God is going to put together in 2 verses, according to the scriptures. First is death, then is resurrection. And the first thing it says, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Well, let me tell you this. I'm going to challenge the lovers tonight in this room. Let me see all those husbands who are willing to die for their wives. Put your hands up. Thank God for those. Thank God for those. Let me see all the wives who are willing to die for their husbands. Thank God for those wives who are willing to die for their husbands. You know, I asked that question in a certain country. And when I was finished asking the question, the brothers all looked at their wives and they were afraid if they didn't put their hands up. No food tomorrow. And so the brothers put their hands up. And then I asked the wives, and not a woman put her hand up. And the brothers caught me afterwards. They said, Brother Lennox, you should have asked the women first. And then we would have known what to do. What we want to say tonight is that Christ loved you so much that he was willing to die for you. Dying on a cross, the worst death, suffering there and dying, that your sins might be washed away, that my sins might be washed away, that our sins might be washed away. There on the cross of Calvary, he suffered, bled, and died. Oh, thank God he died for my sins. And the Word of God says, according to the scriptures. And then, it doesn't say, and he was buried according to the scriptures. The Word of God say he was buried. Over my years as a Christian, I had to bury many dead. I had to give the service at the burial ground. And years ago, we used to bury people 6 feet down before we started tombing them. And I know that in those days, there were people who loved their parents so much. They loved their mother and their father. That when we put down that coffin in the hole, they will jump in. And you can't get them out. Because they loved their parents. They loved their mother and they did not want to part with their mother. Who would want to part with mommy? You know, I grow up now with my boys and my children, and I see where they begin to gravitate towards their mother.
Daddy is like, you stay at the back, Daddy. And I say, I thank God, the children learn to say Dada first before they say Mama. Because once they begin to say Mama, no more Dada. The Lord Jesus Christ, He paid a price for me on that cross. But look what happened. I had learned, when we used to bury people down 6 feet, I learned how to get them out. You can't beg them, come out of the grave. They wouldn't come out. They would sit down in there. Then I learned to say, dust to dust, we will commit the body. And the moment we began to throw the dirt in, you see them out. All of them came out. And what it told me is that though they loved their mother so much, they were not willing to die for their mother. They were not willing to die. They were willing to go on living. But you know, it always bothered me because there was one other scene in the burial ground that touched my heart. It is when we find them embracing the coffin. And they're crying, Mommy, Mommy, come back. And you know, I wonder, what if the coffin begins to shake? What if the top opens up? What if Mommy takes a step outside? I am telling you, the burial ground would be empty. Why? Because we do not expect that. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He went into death. And He broke the bands of death. And He came out. And He came out victoriously. And He is alive. And He is alive forevermore. The Bible tells us here, it was not possible that He could be holden of death. Death tried all it could to hold Him. You had to let Him go. He came out of death. And He came out victoriously. But now we are told Christ died for our sins. In Romans chapter 5, we are told that Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 5 verse 6. In Romans 5 verse 8. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord Jesus went into death for you and for me. That if I receive Him as my Savior, my sins would be washed away. He took our judgment there on the cross. He suffered there for me and for you. During the first 3 hours, He suffered at the hands of man, what man did to Him. They couldn't wait long to put Him on the cross. 9 o'clock in the morning, they put Him on the cross. And for 3 hours, from 9 to 12, the Lord Jesus suffered all the insults of man. But at 12 o'clock, when the sun should be the brightest, the Bible tells me there was darkness over the old earth. There was darkness from 12 to 3, another 3 hours. The Lord Jesus at the end cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know why He was forsaken? Because of my sins. To save me. To save you. He died on the cross to save you from your sins, that your sins might be washed away. He was forsaken of God in order that you might not be forsaken. He died that you might live. He suffered that you might go free. He lives that we might never die. The Lord Jesus is the one who accomplished the work. God is satisfied in his work. And if you receive the Lord as your Savior, all your sins would be washed away and you will be on your way to glory.
Jesus died on that cross. And he died there for you. And he died there for me. What a Savior who died for me on that cross.
But when did he die? When I was a good boy? When did he die? When you were a good girl? No. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Christ died for the ungodly. Are you ungodly tonight? Christ died for you. Are you a sinner tonight? Christ died for you. How can he love you so much that he can journey from heaven to die for you on a cross, to suffer there, and to die there so that your sins might be washed away? You might be accepted so that you will never die. What a Savior. And that's what he did for you. Dying on the cross so that your sins, my sins, might be washed away. Tonight, if you receive him as your Savior, as small as you be, as old as you be, your sins would be washed away. Tonight, if you say, Lord Jesus, you died for me on the cross, and I receive you as my Savior, I want to tell you, his blood, the value of the blood, is sufficient to remove all your sins. When I say all your sins, your past sins, your present sins, your future sins. The people who have difficulty, how can my future sins be removed if I have not committed them yet? Well, I'll tell you this. The Word of God tells us, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Sins are not remitted because we ask for forgiveness, but because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That is why our sins are gone. It is his blood on that cross that made a difference. The Bible tells us that it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats can remove sins. But the scripture now tells us in 1 John, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin, and all mean all. Because if not, we will have to get another set of blood to take care of our future sins. And that's not possible. Christ died once and for all. And I want to tell you, young people, if you receive Christ as your Savior, all your sins, past, present, future, would be forgiven you. That's why he died on the cross. He died to save you from a lost eternity. Would you receive him tonight? Satan is defeated. But there is another reason why he died. He died for us. He died for us on a cruel cross. And he said, Tom, I love you so much. I was willing to die for you. Put your name there. John, I love you so much. I died for you on a cross. And if you receive me as your Savior, all your sins I will wash away. Let me tell you something. Don't mind what you have done. Your sins could all be washed away tonight. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. No sin is too great. No sin is too small. Let me tell you something. Adam had one sin on him. God drove him out of the garden. One sin is too many. If you have one sin, you are not going to go to heaven. You're going to go to hell. God drove Adam out of the garden, even though he had one. I want to tell you something. The holy God cannot stand sin. In order for us to go to glory, to be with a holy God, all our sins must be washed away. And that's what the scripture tells us. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, not some, all. And if you receive him tonight, all your sins would be washed away. We're going to sing just as I am. We're going to bow our heads. And as we sing, those who would like tonight to commit their life to Christ, I want you to do something. Put your hands up so that the brothers would see and the brothers could talk to you. Is there one tonight who would like to receive Christ as his Savior? The Lord is available, even now. Put your hands up to indicate to one of the brothers, I would like to receive Christ as my Savior tonight. Do I see a hand? Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. As young as you are, thank God for that hand. As young as you are, you can receive Christ. As old as you are, you could receive Christ. Is there one hand I see tonight? Is there one person who would come and say, Christ, you died for me on the cross. You suffered. You bled. And you died that my sins might be washed away. We're about to pray. But I plead with you one last time. Is there another person who would like to say, I would like to receive Christ as my Savior? Let's talk to him in prayer. Our God and Father, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus. We're thankful for what he has done. How he died for us on the cross. How he defeated the enemy. How he lives nevermore to die. O our God and Father, we desire that thou would touch our hearts and lives by thy word. And we might surrender to you. Father, help every one of us to be conscious of who we're dealing with. O our God, touch our hearts and lives. All of us who know you as Savior, draw us closer. Help us to be more committed to you, our God and Father. And Lord Jesus, help those of us who don't know you to surrender. We cry to you. We desire this of you, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.